not feel well today after everything happened yesterday? That's the big question. All right, let's learn. Over here we have in the Torah the mitzvah of Peru, Urvu, Umilu, Esaretz, Vichiv, Shul. We have over here in this week's parish the first mitzvah of the Torah, the mitzvah of Peria, Urviya. So let's discuss a couple of interesting things about this mitzvah. First of all, what is the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to multiply, to be fruitful, Peru, Urvu? What's the reason? And also the words are very interesting words. Peru, lashon of a fruit. Priya or revu and multiply. What's the reason of the mitzvah? So if I'm not mistaken, I'm just trying to collect from some different ideas. Sefer Das Konisa. What I'm reading over here is there are three very different reasons why we find a person has a mitzvah or should have children. Number one, lo toyu baraha l'sheves yotzara, which means Hashem did not create this world that it should be desolate. Hashem created this world that it should be inhabited. Now this means that this is a religious reason. If a king, they give a mashal, if a king gives you an object, a king gives you something to watch, what do you do with it? You throw it in the garbage? You put it out in the street where someone can steal it? Someone can damage it? If Hashem gives you something, it's simple. If the king trusts you to guard his object, you have to take care of it well. Hashem created this world. Hashamayim shamayim la. Hashemayim Shemayim LaHashem, Ve'aretz Nosan Levnei Adam. Hashem gave this world to man. Hashem wants the world to be utilized. He wants the world to be in good condition. The only way man can preserve this world and to utilize it and to maximize its potential is to produce a next generation, is to multiply, is to have children, and to multiply, and people will live in this world, they'll use this world, they will benefit from this world, they will serve Hashem. Forget about even serving Hashem. Just the fact that Hashem created this world for man, it's simple that Hashem wants this world, this earth, to be occupied and to be utilized and achieve its purpose. So therefore, even a non-Jew has an obligation to have children, to occupy this world, so the world should not be desolate. Lo toyuhu bara'a l'sheves yotzara. Hashem did not create this world that it should be in a state of tohu, of bewilderment, of chaos, of nothing. It was created for the purpose of inhabitants, of living, developing, and that obligates a human being to have children, to occupy and utilize this world. That's one reason. Another reason is a more religious reason, and that is to do mitzvahs, to use this world to serve Hashem. It's a purely religious reason. And we find this by Avraham Avinu, Ki Yedativ, Hashem says, I know this man Avraham, Asher Yitzave es Bonov Acharav Lishmor Derech Hashem. I know that Avraham, what he will do is command his children to observe the ways of Hashem. The purpose of having children is a technique in being able to serve Hashem. I created Avraham Avinu. He recognized Hashem is the creator. He recognizes that his purpose is to fear Hashem, to serve Hashem, in order that there can be more people in this world that will serve Hashem and do mitzvos, you have to have children. So the purpose of having children is just so that you'll be able to further create human beings that will serve Hashem. That's a very religious approach to children. And then there is a very practical approach for children, which appears only in the Gemara. And that is, the Gemara has a story with a woman who came. I don't remember all the details of the Gemara. He just quotes the expression. And that is to have a chutra, a stick liyada, someone to take care of you. When a person gets old, who's going to take care of him? Who's going to bury? Who's going to bury the person? Who's going to? Just the basic things. When a person gets old, you need a person. You need someone to just help you, to help you in your old age, when not every part of your body functions the way it used to, and you can't get around. You can't get food. You can't do this. You can't do that. A person needs to have children. For selfish reasons, in order to have someone take care of them when they get old. That's also a valid, absolutely valid reason to have children, and has the consequence in halacha where a woman is allowed to demand that she's entitled to have a child for no other purpose than just she needs someone to take care of her when she gets old. And if her husband doesn't want, unless her husband says to the wife, I don't want to have children with you, I don't want. So she says, if that's the case, I want a divorce. So the husband says, no, I'm not giving you a divorce. You have no mitzvah. The mitzvah of peru or revu, according to the Torah, is only for men, not for women, because the pasuk says, v'chif shua, conquer the world. And being that women are not in the category of v'chif shuha, so you have no obligation to conquer the world. It's not your mitzvah, and therefore I have no obligation that you cannot force me to provide you with children. So she says, okay, fine. It's not a mitzvah. Okay, you're right. Let's take the Shulchan Aruch out of the house. It's not a mitzvah. But I want children for practical reasons. I want to have someone to take care of me. And if the husband says no, then she has a right to demand a divorce. Even though it's not her mitzvah, she can say, I demand a chutra liyada. I demand a stick in my hand. So this is an entirely different reason for having children. So let's summarize. There are nafkaminas in these three reasons. Let's summarize. There are three reasons. There's a purely selfish reason. I'm not going to say that's selfish, but it's a purely natural. A person wants to have children because they just want to have children. They want to have someone to take care of them, or a person has a need. I guess by extension of chutra liyada, by extension, you can say the same reason why you see people today have dogs. There's an obsession in the world. It's not just in America. It's not just in Flatbush. But there's an obsession in the world for people to have pets, especially dogs. Dog is man's best friend. Why? A person has a need to give. You have a need to express your love for another creature. To express your love for another human being, for many people, is too much. It's too much. But for a dog that doesn't talk back to you, doesn't make trouble for you, that you can do. So that's why in this world, as an outlet for the basic human nature to bestow your kindness and to express your love for another creature, it manifests itself in having a dog. It's an easy way out. To have a child can be overwhelming for many people. If a child, pay tuition, all of their problems, what comes along with a child can be a nightmare for many people. I can't handle that. But I have a need to love something, to give of myself to something. I have a need. So who am I going to express my need to? A dog. And that's a very beautiful thing. I'll tell you a very interesting story. It's really, really, really changed my mind, changed my way of thinking. It was the guy that I know who was very immature. He was probably 18, 19 years old. He wanted to get married. He wanted to get married. This kid, he was chalishing to get 19 years old. And it's none of my business. And he was telling me, but one thing I know about this guy, he is not capable of getting married. He's a baby. He's irresponsible. He he's just not ready. He's immature. He's thoroughly immature. But it's none of my business. What do I care? However, we both of us share a Rebbe. I know this person, a very distinguished person very well. And this fellow that wanted to have that get married, he also knows him not as well, but he also has a connection to him. So I met this Rebbe just casually. I was in the right place to write to him. I told him, you know, this person we both know, he wants to get married. And I'm very concerned that if he'll get married, if he'll pick up a girl somewhere and he'll get married, who knows? It can be a disaster. So the Rebbe said to me, oh no. What I said, he says, absolutely no way. This kid is not ready to get married. No way. No way. And he said, I'll talk to him, whatever. I'll talk to him. I'll see what I can do. I'll talk to him. And in the conversation, he said to me, I couldn't believe what he said to me. He said to me, you know what this kid needs to do? He needs to get a dog. I never thought I would hear a Rosh Yeshiva say this. A Haredi Rosh Yeshiva. And he said this in all seriousness. You know what he needs to do? He needs to get a pet. I really want this kid to go. I don't know where do you go. I don't know where you get a dog. You go to a kennel, you go to the city, you go to some exotic shop where they sell pets. He needs to get a dog. He needs to learn what it means to take care of another creature, to be responsible, to feed it, to clean up after it, to worry about it. He's not ready to get married and to have a wife, because you have to take care of your wife. And then when you have children, you have to take care of your children. He said to me, the Rebbe, he can't even take care of a goldfish. If I gave him a goldfish tomorrow, the goldfish would be dead. He doesn't know what it means to take care of anyone. I need him to get a pet, to learn what it means, responsibility, to take care of somebody. And then maybe one day he'll be ready to get married. It's an incredible thing. So there are three reasons why we find in Chazal why it's a mitzvah to get married. Number one, it's an entitlement. It is an entitlement of human nature. Entitlement. A person is entitled to have someone take care of him when he gets old and he dies. He's entitled to have someone bury him. A child to come bury him and say Kaddish for him. He's entitled. And as an extension of that, he's entitled to have a creature in this world that he can bestow his chesed. Just like a Kaddish Baruch Hu, he created this world in order to do chesed with man. It's built into the human condition, the need to love something, to bestow your kindness upon something, which manifests itself in marriage and having children. It's an entitlement. Number two, there is a semi-religious reason why a person should have children. Semi-religious. And this semi-religious reason applies to Jews and non-Jews alike. And that is to acknowledge that this is God's world. That's the religion. That's the religious element. That there is a creator. This world did not just come about by just through a big bang. This world has a creator. And Hashem has entrusted this world with human beings. And this world needs tender, loving care. This world needs someone to take care of it. It needs custodians to take care of it, not to let it sit and rot. And who is going to take care of this world? Humanity. And no one lives forever. No one's forever. So therefore, after a certain period of time, the next generation has to come along and preserve the gift that God has created. So it's a duty of man. It's a mitzvah. It's a duty of man to have children in order to take their place and preserve this earth that God has created. This principle is wrapped up in the pasuk that says, "Loi toihu bara'a l'sheves yotzara." Hashem did not create this world that it should be desolate. Hashem created this world that it should be occupied. This is a semi-religious reason, in contrast to the first reason, which is purely physical. It's purely, I need someone to bury me. I need an object for me to express my love to. That's not necessarily a religious reason. That's an entitlement of being a human being. A human being is entitled to live. If you're in this world, you're entitled to live. Part of living means having children. This is a religious reason. You have to first acknowledge that God created this world and he gave this world to human beings. And a human being has a duty to preserve the gift, to preserve Hashem's world. And since we are not going to live forever, there's a duty for man to have children, to replace them. And this reason applies to Jew and non-Jew alike. Every non-Jew has some degree of religion, is obligated to acknowledge the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then there's an entirely different reason that only applies to Klal Yisrael. And that is Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu reinvented the mitzvah of Pru Urivu. He reinvented the mitzvah. A makeover, a massive makeover. And the pasuk is Laman Atze Asher Yitzave Esbonov Acharov Lishmar Derech Hashem. Avraham Avinu was in love with Hashem and he wanted to be mekayim all of the mitzvahs of Hashem, not just to preserve the world. That's the difference between these two reasons. The reason of loy toyu bara'ah is to preserve the earth. Avraham Avinu, forget about the earth. Hashem has mitzvahs. Hashem, Yisrael v'yoraisa v'kud shabiruch chadhu, there is a Torah. Hashem gave man mitzvahs. The Umma Yisrael of Zion mitzvahs b'nei noyach. And Klal Yisrael has taryag mitzvahs. And Avram wanted that the mitzvahs should be fulfilled. Having a child is just a hechatimsa in order that the mitzvahs of Hashem can be fulfilled. It's a whole different dimension. And that is unique to Klal Yisrael. Leman Asher Yitzave Esbonav Acharav Lishmar Derech Hashem. Now what is so fascinating about this idea, he cites here something which really blew my mind. He says over here, he quotes over here from the Sefer Musar Haskel. It's called Musar Haskel. It's a parish on the Rambam. It's a parish on the Rambam Hilchos Deos. The Rambam has Sefer Hilchos Deos. This is an old Sefer from, it's a very old Sefer. I don't know who it's from. Mahari Taitzik? I'm not sure who this person is. It's an old classic Sefer. And he makes the following observation. That every single time we find in the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu having a conversation with Avraham, every single time, B'li Yoytze Min HaKlal, there is a mention of Avraham's future or current children. Go through from the beginning of Lech Lecha all the way until Avraham dies. Every conversation, in every discussion, there's a mention Bonav, Avraham's future or current children. There's only one time when Hashem speaks to Avraham and there's no mention of children. And that's right before the Bris Bein Abasarim. And Avraham was so shocked, he immediately said, Matitein li v'anochi hoylech ariri. Why did Avraham Avinu, why did he speak up and demand, did he speak up and say, Matitein li v'anochi hoylech ariri? Why did he get into a conversation about children? The answer is contrast this conversation with every other conversation in Bereshis, in Chumash Bereshis, where our HaKadosh Baruch always mentions in the topic of conversation children. And here in this conversation, Hashem is not mentioning anything about children. And this shook up. What do you mean? It's all about the children. How come now in this conversation you are omitting, you're not mentioning children? It shook him to the core. Matitinli, v'anochi halicharidi. You're not mentioning children in this conversation. The entire thrust and focus of Avraham Avinu was the future. Was leman asher ki yedativ Hashem says, I love Avraham Avinu. Why? Ki yedativ leman asher yitzave esbonov v'esbeise acharav lishmar derech Hashem. So this is the third component of the mitzvah of Puriya Urviya. Three very different elements to the mitzvah, and obviously there could be a lot of very big differences in the three. Okay, one is mundane, purely mundane. Even an atheist, you can say, has an entitlement as a human being to have a child. And Bnei Noach, the Umay Sa'olam, they also have a duty to have children in order to preserve this world. And we as Klal Yisrael, we build upon the basic human condition of having a child and upon the basic condition of preserving this world. We have children for a third reason, as an opportunity in order that Hashem's mitzvahs, which are not dependent on the preservation of this world and are not dependent on our human condition, shall be fulfilled. Chut ha-meshulosh loy b'mehera yinotek. Three very different conditions, yisoidos, in the midst of Puriya Urviya. Okay, let's discuss another idea about Puriya Urviya. The way the Torah describes the mitzvah in this week's parasha, Puriya Urviya, is Piru Urivu. Be fruitful and multiply. Now, when we speak about Avraham Avinu that we just mentioned, it doesn't say the word fruitful. It just says, ki yedativ, I love him, because leman asher yitzav esbonav acharav lishmar derech Hashem. Because his children are going, he wants to make sure that there are more opportunities to Hashem's mitzvahs. When it came to the word, the Gemara talks about the human condition, chutru liyoda, a person needs to have a stick in their hand, someone to hold on to them, to support them when they get old. Doesn't say the word fruit. Only in this week's parasha, when Hashem created Adam Rishon and blessed him, did Hashem use the term be fruitful and multiply. What is that all about? So we have to appreciate that fruit is a luxury. A person can survive on very little. All you need is take your B vitamins, some water, a few carbohydrates, and you're good to go. You don't need to have exotic fruit. All those exotic fruits you have on the night of Rosh Hashanah, these are luxuries. A fruit in Chazal is a metaphor for a luxury. If you look at the nusach of the Birchas Hamazon, the nusach of the Birchas Hamazon is set for bread, and it's very, very basic. Hazon esa olam kuloi bituvo b'chein b'chesed rachamim hu noisen lechem l'chol basar ki li olam chasa uvituvo hagdol lechosar lanu v'al yechsar lanu mazon. Bread is the basic staple of life. Ki loy al halechem levado yichyeh adam. Ki al kol motzo fi Hashem. If the pasuk has to say ki loy al halechem levado, it basically means that from the physical world, that's all you need, bread. Fruit, when we eat fruit and we make an al ha'etz, we are very poetic. We should be satisfied. You have to go through the nusach. I'm a little bit confused, but the idea is the bracha me'ein shalosh that we recite on fruit is much more poetic. It's much more elaborate. It has much more flavor. Why? Because zeh le'umazeh, fruit is a luxury. It's not a necessity. When Ribbono Shel Olam says to Adam HaRishon, I'm giving you a bracha, peru urevu, it's an incredible blessing. The blessing is, I'm not just giving you a blessing that you should multiply. The blessing of multiplication includes within it, your children should be like fruit. You should have not just the chutra liyada. I need someone to bury me. Who cares who buries you? Doesn't make a difference if a grave digger buries you that you never saw before, never knew before. You don't care for. You just paid him a couple of dollars and he did it. Or it's your child.
Pasuk and Tehillim, Banecha Kishzil
Zaysim. Exactly. Zaysim. The bracha is not just have children, revu, multiply. The blessing is peru or revu. The blessing is coined in term that your children should be full of flavor, full of qualities that are not just the bare bones. And this is true in every dimension. Whether the reason why you're having children is just chutru liyada. I need a stick to hold me up. You know, you can go buy a Rebbe Makel for $1 million. It's plated with gold. It has all these fancy designs. Or you can go out into go into your backyard and pull off a twig off a tree and use it to hold it to keep yourself standing up. You want to have a child that'll take care of you. You should take care of you with their cheretz, with their kovod, with flavor. When you want to talk about the dimension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Loi Toyu Boro Lo Sheves Yatzara, that Hashem created this world, that it should be, that we should take care of it, it's not that just preserve what's here. Embellish this world with technology, with an understanding of the power that is present in nature. The purpose of having children, if you're having children like the Umas Olam, is to preserve the gift that Hashem gave to this world. The preservation should be like fruit. Not just, okay, we got through a day, the day is over. It should be a world of blessing, a world of flavor, a world of color, a world of beauty, which is captured in the term of fruit. And alachas kama v'kama, when it comes to the third reason why there's a mitzvah of peru urevu, of the mitzvah of klal Yisrael, ki yedativ leman asher yitzav v'zbonav achrav v'zbeis achrav l'shmer derech Hashem, the mitzvahs should not be done in a boring, mundane, pedestrian way. This should be done with flavor, like fruit. The word peru, in the expression peru or revu, is a powerful word. It brings out Hashem's bracha, desire. The next generation should outdo you. They should be more delicious than you. You know the joke I always tell you with the grandparents. They say they love their grandchildren so much. Had they known how much they would love their grandchildren, they would have had them first, before their children. So delicious. That's the goal. The goal is that the next generation should be like fruit, a luxury, not just a necessity. Okay, now let's go to something a little bit.
By the way, maybe it's also Lelechet B'darchei Hashem. Hashem created eight peri oseh peri limino. Zot omerat, he just created an eight. Eight and that's it. He created Adam and that's it. No, you do exactly what I did. I created a tree that gives fruits. You should do the same thing. That's why.
Ki ha'adam eitz asodeh. Adam ki adam eitz asodeh. That's the pasuk in the Kiseitzek. Ki adam eitz asodeh.
Exactly.
No, parash not like kishar shayfim, parash shayfim, parash shayfim. Ki adam eats asad, the love of minach b'matzar. Right, a person is compared to a tree. Eats pri, the whole drush, eats pri, eats oisa pri. Okay, now let's just talk a little bit of halacha. This is a very, very touchy topic. This is a very, I don't want to prepare for this part. I'm just run through it through a few little things. I don't want to tell you a little drush on pri or revia in relation to kibud avoim. But first, do you force a person to get married? Is there such a thing that when it comes to many mitzvahs, we have a principle that Bezdin has the power to step in and force a person to do a mitzvah? Does Bezdin force a person to marry and have children? This is a very, very big topic, and there are many opinions on this matter. And if everything is said and done, it comes down to what it says in Shulchan Aruch, Tzmachloikis, the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Mechaber says yes. Bezdin has the right to step in and to force a person to get married. The words of the Mechaber in Eben Ezer, Simon, the very beginning, it's mamash, the very beginning of Eben Ezer, it says, Uveshum inyan lo yavar me esrim shan b'lo isha. Under no condition should a person live in this world past the age of 20 years old without a wife. Under no condition. Umi she'avroi olav chafshan, a person who's older than 20 years old. I'm reading the Mechaber. This is the code of law. This is the aleph base. This is mi pihem, we live from the word of the Mechaber, of Yosef Kairoi. And he writes this in the very beginning of Shulchan Aruch. Umi she'avro olav chafshana ve'ena reitza lisa, a person who's past 20 years old does not want to get married. Bezdin koifin oisoy lisa, Bezdin forces him to get married. Kidei lekayem mitzvas periya urviya. And then he goes on to say, but a person is busy learning, it's going to disturb his learning. Okay, so we can delay just a little bit. Miu im oisek b'tora v'toridba u'misyorei lisa isha kadei shelo yitrach b'mezoinoi v'yispatel min ha-toira mutl his acher. Person is going to, it's going to prevent him from learning Torah. He is allowed to delay slightly. How long is he allowed to delay? A year, 2 years, 3 years? Not very long, he can delay. And the truth is, today almost all of the poets can tell us there is no such thing today that a person can say, he's such a holy person, he can say that getting married is going to take away from my ability to study Torah. No one is such a tzaddik today. There's such a masmid. Doesn't exist such a thing. Anyone today is such a masmid that he has in his arsenal such an excuse that it's bittul Torah of him to get married. It's a joke. We're now living in such times where people are serious about learning in such a level. So what's the pshat? How come we find in the world so many people are not married past the age of 20, and we don't find Bezdin taking out a whip and beating them up? So the answer is the next words, the Ramah, the Ramah of Moshe Isserles. He comments on this words, Hagah, uvizman hazeh, in our day and age, nohagu sheloi lochuf al zeh. Today, he writes, it's the minhag not to ever force a person to get married. That's the minhag. And v'chei mi sheloi kiyim pri urviya ubo lisa isha she'en abas banim. Let's say another example, another very, very, very difficult question. A person who was not mekayim a mitzvah pri urviya. He was not mekayim the mitzvah, and he wants to marry a woman that cannot have children. So do we prevent him from marrying her? Does Bezdin step in and say, you know, you're not allowed to marry her? Because if you marry her, you will not have an opportunity to have children. Does Bezdin step in and prevent? No. Today, mind your own business. Kugoyin, miyish lakim pri urviya v'obol lisa isha she'en abas banim, kugoyin akara uzekena ekitana. Why would he want to marry this woman? Taiva. He has a yearning for her. He has a yetzahara to marry her. Or, oi, mishum mamon, money. Afilu, afal pi, shemedina, Haya Limchais Bai, even though according to the letter of the law, the Beis Din should intervene and prevent this from happening, Loi Nohagu Mikama Dorois Ledaktek Beinyon Hazivugim. It's already been accepted for many, many generations not to butt in. When it comes to Shidduchim, the minhag is stand back. Okay. Then he goes on and this obviously, this machlik is the Mechaber and the Ramah is obviously explosive. And it is subject to an enormous amount of, as Rabbi Rakefet would say, rabbinic literature. An enormous amount of she'elus and tshuvas. Really? You don't step in? What's going on over here? It's a big, big topic. And many people quote the Tosfos. Tosfos in Masechta Kedushin says, Tosfos says that because we have a tradition that the golos is so horrible, and the end is going to be, Tosfos says something shocking. The end is going to be that anyone that gets married has children. The children will not have a good end, because the tsoros of golos are beyond our grasp. So it would really be better that no one should get married and no one should have children, and we should just fizzle out and let Hashem bring Mashiach. So Tosfos says, shocking, but people are not going to listen. They want to have weddings. People want to have weddings, even backyard weddings in the middle of Corona. They want to get married. So be quiet. Mutav Sheyihu Shaygin V'al Yehu Mezidin, something like that. So he says, they're not going to listen to you, so therefore don't bother. Let them do whatever they want. But it really would be better even not to get married, not to have children, because the end is not going to be good for anybody. I mean, these words of Tosfos are so shocking. No one even knows where to hide after they read this Tosfos in Masechta Kedushin. And okay, that's quoted, but obviously that's not accepted. It's totally not accepted at all, such a thing. And it is what it is. There's obviously a very, very elaborate discussion on this topic, on shidduchim and having children, forcing, not forcing, and different age groups. And let's discuss all and as an outgrowth of the shilas, where a person knows that if he'll marry this woman, they did a test, they did a Tay-Sachs test. Okay, Dar Yisharim. They don't test only for Tay-Sachs. They test for all these genetic diseases, and they reveal that there are chances that Rachman Litzlan, things are not going to work out well. So how does that play into the picture? Are you mechuyev to be tested in advance? Let's say you already were tested, and you know that there are chances that things are not going to work out so well. How do all of these things play out? And I got dizzy. Trying to go through what it says over here, all the different opinions, got me dizzy. And obviously, whatever you do is good, because you'll definitely have a major league poisek to back you up in this extremely complicated issue, which starts primarily with the Mechaber and the Ramah. There's a mitzvah de'oraisa, peru revu, which really there are three elements to this mitzvah. Like we said, peru revu l'mana sheyitzav ezban of acharav chutro liyada. There are three elements, and what role does Beis Din have in forcing people to follow through? What role do parents have in forcing their children to get married? What role does a person privately have in getting married? And to what degree is a person obligated to investigate into issues that are prone to arise in certain circumstances? All of these elements that I've mentioned are subject to a major machloikes sapoiskim. And there are, a lot of the ideas are basically that we live in golos, we live in uncertain times, and experience has taught Klal Yisrael that forcing people to get married who don't want to get married does not always work out well. And therefore, for Doiros, it's always been generally the Ramah to take a softer approach where a person on his own must come to that realization, I want, I want, I want. And if he wants, even if he wants something which in the eyes of the Hamoin Am is not good, it's been pretty common for people to be advised, mind your own business, stand back and relax. Now I'll tell you a drush, I'll tell you a little bit, before I tell you a drush, it's reminding me of something humorous, not humorous. It's humorous and it's sad, but I'm going off the topic because I want to just have a taiva to tell this to you. Yesterday was Simchas Torah, and the day before was Shmini Atzeres. Ties into this just a little bit. Again, I find it humorous. I told this to you once before, but I want to make a new application. I'm sure many of you participated to some degree in Birchas Kohanim. And when the Kohanim bless the Jewish people, the people in the audience, some people, they recite a beautiful, elaborate Yehi Ratzon. And in this Yehi Ratzon, we pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mative dreams. If anyone had a dream that was frightening, the dream should be transformed to a dream of blessing. And there are three different categories of dreams that we discuss. If I dreamt about myself, Bein Shecholamti Al Atzmi. Dream number two is Bein Shecholamti Al Acherim. I had a dream about somebody else. The third category is Bein Shecholmu Acherim Olai. If somebody had a dream about me. And the question everyone asks, what about the dreams that other people had about other people? Why only these three categories? There's a fourth category. And the answer is, the dream that Reuven had about Shimon is none of your business. It's your business what you dreamt about yourself and what people are dreaming about you and what you dream about other people. But what Reuven dreams about Shimon is none of your business. Mind your own business. So why am I telling this to you? You walk in the street, there are people who wear masks and people who don't wear masks. If you go to the CDC website and you inquire, why do we wear a mask? There are three reasons why you wear a mask. Number one, to protect other people from you. Bein shecholamti al acherim. Because I may be a ticking bomb, I may be contaminated, I may be ill, and if I breathe, I can kill somebody. I have to protect other people from me, bein shecholamti al acherim. Or maybe someone else is sick, and if he breathes, I'm going to get sick. So I need to cover my mouth not to breathe in his air. Number three, bein shecholamti al atzmi. To protect yourself from yourself. Maybe you touched something that's not clean and you have a tendency to put your fingers in your mouth or your nose. So by covering your nose and your mouth, you will protect yourself from yourself. So in other words, why do you wear a mask? The same three reasons. Bein shecholamti al atzmi, protect yourself from yourself. Bein shecholamti al acherim, to protect others from me. Ubein shecholmu acherim olai, to protect myself. Someone dreamt about me, so I protect myself from someone else. So now, what about, why is he wearing a mask? Or why is he not wearing a mask when I'm anyway not coming within his vicinity? It's none of your business. No one's smiling here. All right, but I thought that was very, very funny. Let's now go further. Now, let's discuss a mitzvah of relating to Priya Urviya in connection to the mitzvah of Kibud Avoim. We know that we have a mitzvah in the Torah called Kabeid Es Avicha V'Yasimecha.
I have two questions.
Hello? Alexander?
I have two questions, yes.
Yes, question.
Do I need to wear a mask if I already have this disease?
Okay, I don't know. This is just a side topic. You have to go talk to a doctor. I don't know anything.
I know for sure. Do I need publicly?
I don't. They say yes. They do say yes. I'll tell you one thing on a side topic. My brother is a rabbi. My brother told me something very interesting. My brother told me that in his shul, he's part of a vad of Rabbonim in Lakewood, a vad for Corona. And they made a rule. And the rule they made for Simchas Torah was, anyone who does not have antibodies must wear a mask. Okay, it's none of my business. None of my business, the rules, right, wrong. I'm just telling you a story. Don't challenge me on right, wrong, because that's not my department here. This is what the rule they made. I'm not a doctor. I'm just telling you what they did. I'm just telling you what they did there. They're a vad of Rabbanim, together with doctors. They made a rule in his community. If you don't have antibodies, on Simchas Torah, you come to shul, you must wear a mask. That was the rule they made in the community. Okay,
if you listen to the podcast from Marshall Schechter, he said that they asked him the question, because somebody asked her to do tshuva because she realized she infected her father.
Yeah.
And she wanted to know what kind of tshuva she has to do.
Yeah.
She has the din of a rodeif.
Yeah.
And he said he didn't know what to tell her in terms of what to do tshuva. But when they asked him about if you considered a rodeif, if you don't wear a mask, he said he hemmed and he hawed and he said possibly yes.
Okay. Scary. Very scary.
Yep.
I'm not here to tell you. I just want to tell you a story.
That's what he said.
I'm not telling you any.
Friday.
I'm not a doctor. I'm not a rabbi. Yeah. I'm just telling you a story. This is the story. In Lakewood, where my brother lives, they have a couple of rabbis in the community, in a certain section of where he lives. They all got together with doctors. The people there almost refused to listen to anybody. No one does that. Everyone does whatever they want. So they want to do something because there are a lot of sick people. And they want to stop the spread. And the rabbis with the doctors, they felt something minimal to stop the spread. They told the people, if you don't have antibodies, you must wear. If you have antibodies, I don't know what the big doctors say, but this is what they say, you don't have to wear a mask. So my brother, he was tested and he has antibodies. Baruch Hashem, yes, whatever, he has antibodies. He's the rabbi. And my brother says that in his shul, no one wants to wear a mask. He has to fight with them. No one wants to wear a mask. So he knows, so he decided, in order that the people who don't have antibodies should not be embarrassed to wear a mask because of public pressure from all the other people, he's going to wear a mask. So he went, and on Simchas Torah, he wore a mask, even though he has in his hand the results from his lab that he has antibodies. As a dogma, if the rabbi is wearing a mask, it's not so terrible to wear a mask. So at least the people who don't have antibodies shouldn't be embarrassed to put on a mask. Okay, let's now go into another topic. It didn't work.
Anything?
No, he told me last night it didn't accomplish nothing. He told me it didn't accomplish anything. No, it doesn't make
people
a difference.
People are stupid. What are you going to do?
Garnish from garnish. All right, whatever. I'm not here. Now let's go back to another topic. Mitzvah of Kibud Avoim. Adam HaRishon Chava. How come they never call Chava HaRishona? They don't call her the first woman. How come they don't call her the first woman? I'm not going to tell you the answer to that question, because there might be some women listening and they'll never forgive me.
I'll tell you better, because the question that I had was, when after she was created, until after the chait of eating from the Eitz Hadas, she didn't have a name. So Adam, was that his name, or was just that's the name for mankind? But it says after the Eitz Hadas, then he called her Chava. I was wondering why he didn't give her a name right away. It was only after the 8th, it says, it was later.
I said maybe because after the chayim, they separated someone.
It says they were separated.
Until now, they were always together.
It says they were separated for 130 years.
Well, I just want to know if you're standing on your head or if the sperm shrunk upside down.
Oh, no, I didn't. You want to know something? I see what you're saying. No. I'm doing exercises on the I'm on one of those machines. Yeah, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Chava and Adam were separated 130 years. They were separated. That's what it says in Chazal. All right, let's go back. Adam and Chava did not have parents. They're not parents. They were not able to be mekayim the mitzvah of kibud avoim. We are given the mitzvah of kabeid esavicha v'yasimecha, and in Parshas Yisroi, the word yitav is omitted. It does not say it'll be good for you, but in Parshas Voeschanan, in the Luchos Shniyos, it says leman yitav lach v'harachta yamim. I want to tell you a drush. Why is it that a child has an obligation to give kavod to his parents? Why? What's the reason why he has to give kavod to his parents? The reason I want to suggest really goes back to the mitzvah. We started today with three different elements to the mitzvah. Chutru liyada, loy toyu boro, l'sheves yotzara, l'mana sher yitzav esbonav acharav lishmar derech Hashem. Okay, let's just go slow. The main, when does a parent marry off his child? We just finished discussing it, machlokes, the mechaber and the Ramah. Do parents have an obligation? Do parents have the ability to force their children to get married? Or does Bezdin have an obligation? So let's assume the derech is yes. The derech is that a parent raises child. It says in the Mishnah Kedushin, a father has an obligation to teach his child to learn Torah, to teach his child a profession, and to marry him off. It's a Mishnah. Mishnah in the beginning of Masechet, towards the beginning of Masechet Kedushin, it's the father's obligation. And the Gemara has a discussion, what is the age when a father should marry off his child? Not later, the Gemara has different ages, from 18 to 22, the range goes from 16 to 24, an average of 20 years old. And the Mechaber, in fact, picks up on the average, and he says the proper age is 20 years old, period. Medrash, what was the age of Adam HaRishon at the time he was created? We'll say he was a baby. He was an infant. Is that the way he was? I always like to tease children. I ask the siblings of a newborn, how old is the baby? How many years old are you? I'm 3 years old. I'm 4. How old is the baby? 0 years old. The baby is 0 years old. How old was Adam HaRishon when he was created? 0 years old. He was an infant crying in the crib. What crib? Who gave him a bottle? Who dressed him? The Medrash says that Adam HaRishon was created in the body of a 20-year-old. Adam HaRishon came into this world at the age of 20 years old. His body and his mind were equivalent to a human being the age of 20 years old. Why 20 years old? Why did Hashem make Adam HaRishon the age of 10 years old? 5 years old? Why not? 5 years old, you can already survive. 6 years old, 7 years old, 13 years old would be a nice age to be born. A teenager. Adam HaRishon, can you imagine he missed out on those being a teenager? He didn't have a motorcycle. He didn't have, a place to hang out. He missed out.
But it was smart on the part of Hashem. He didn't have to raise an adolescent.
The answer is, it goes zeh bezeh with kibud avoim. Since Adam HaRishon does not have parents, the ikur chinuch of a parent is until you marry off the child. You raise a child, you bring a child into the world, you raise him, and you marry him off. At what age do you marry him off? What does the Gemara say? What's the Gemara's maskana halacha, Shulchan Aruch? After the Gemara goes through all the ages, 18 to 22, 16 to 24, all the Gemara goes through all the ages. But the bottom line is, what's the bottom line? 20 years old. That's the zman, that is the average time when a parent, at least in the time of Chazal, not today of course, Chazal, you married off a child. And when the child gets married, in the time of Chazal, like today, you're done, you're finished. You don't have to pay for tuition for your grandchildren. You don't have to buy them a baby carriage. You don't have to buy them clothing. You don't have to do nothing. You're done. You don't have to invite them for Pesach. You're finished. Once you marry off your child at 20 years old, you, the parent, are finished. You've done yours. You brought a person into this world. You raised him. You trained him. You taught him Torah. You taught him a profession. You paid his college tuition. He has a job. And you've helped him get married. You're done. The kid is now on his own. You can sit back and enjoy the nachas, and it doesn't cost you one penny. That's the way it's supposed to be. So now, what about the child? The ikur kibud av v'em of the child first begins when he's 20 years old. Until the child is 20 years old, he's not in a situation where he can even be mechabed his parents. Because the kavod is where you're the giver. When you are on the receiving end, you're not being mechabed your parents. I know they tell children that this bar mitzvah pshatel. He says, "I want to thank my mom for everything she did for me." Mom, what does it say here? Can you? I can't read your handwriting. You know the joke by bar mitzvah pshatel when the boy comes to thank his parents. I want to thank my parents for. Mom, I can't read. What did you write over here? What's the handwriting? Hey, I know that the children are supposed to give kavod to the parents when they're bar mitzvah, but that's not real kavod. The real kavod begins when you are out of the nest. And when does that transition take place? When you're 20 years old. The point is, the reason why Adam HaRishon was created in the body of a 20-year-old was because he has no parents. And because he has no mitzvah of kibud av v'em, the mitzvah of kibud av v'em is to give honor for the rest of your life for what your parents did for you for the first 20 years. Adam HaRishon, the fact that he doesn't have parents automatically demands that he entered this world in the age of 20. Because if Adam HaRishon would enter into this world before he was 20 years old, he would need parents. Until that age, you need someone to guide you. It's talui zeh bezeh. It can't be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would create Adam HaRishon when he's 6 years old. Because a six-year-old cannot survive. A six-year-old needs parents. And when you get to 20 years old, now it's triggered kibud av v'em for what your parents have done for you for the last 20 years. Adam HaRishon been being born when he's 20 years old, that's why there's no kibud av v'em. It's not because Adam doesn't have parents. It's because the first 20 years of his life don't exist. It's tolui zeh bezeh. Now let's look at the Aseres HaDibros. What we once discussed this at length. What is the difference, the main difference between the first set of luchos and the second set of luchos? What is the most fundamental difference between, I'm talking about the words, the letters, what is the difference between the two dibros, the most fundamental difference? The first set of luchos were given as a gift from Hashem to Klal Yisrael. You people, at this point in time, here you are, you're at Matan Torah, I took you out of Egypt, you come to the mountain, I'm giving you the Torah. They worship the eagle, Moshe destroyed the Luchos, Hashem said to Moshe, we're going to, done, finished, it's all over. Moshe was mispalo, didn't go so easy. Moshe had to say a few magic words in order that Klal Yisrael should merit to have a second set of luchas. Zichor l'Avraham, l'Yitzchak, u'l'Yaakov. zechus avos. When Avram Avinu triggered zechus avos, Hashem said, okay, I'm giving you a new shot. I'm giving you a second set of luchas. The fundamental difference between the first luchas and the first luchas was given to Klal Yisrael in their own merit. And it was a disaster. The second set of luchas was given to Klal Yisrael zichus avos. When it comes to kibud avoim, what does it say? Leman ya'arichun yomecha uleman yitav loch. It should be good for you. The word toiv is used in reference to kibud avoim in the second luchas. The word toiv is not used in the first luchas. Why not? Okay, so we all know the famous chazal, chas v'sholayim paska toiva miyisrael. Yeah, that's the pshat. Because since Hashem foresaw that the first luchas would be shattered and it would say the word toiv, we do not want the word toiv to be destroyed. It would not be a good omen. So Hashem, he went out of his way to omit the word toiv. But there's a much deeper reason. When a person gets married, what are the terms the Torah uses for marriage in this week's parasha? Loi toiv heyois adam levado. E'eseloi ezer kenegdo. Adam did not. Why does the Torah say, describe marriage in the negative? Loi toiv. It doesn't say it's a good thing. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say in the Torah anywhere that marriage is a good thing. All it says, loi toiv. It's not good to be alone. Why couldn't the Torah? The Torah is very nice. The Torah say, Toiv! Toiv lo Adam! Ezer kenegdai. What does it hurt? What does it hurt? The answer is, this is the next part of our puzzle. Who has the mitzvah to marry off a child? You have the mitzvah? The Mishnah Masechta Kedushin is clear as day. It's not your mitzvah. It's a shocking thing. Okay, we started this off today. There's a mitzvah to get married. Whose mitzvah is it? So, well, it depends. I mean, it depends on what is the purpose of the mitzvah. Is the purpose of the mitzvah, yeah, you want selfish reasons? You want a chutra liyada? Or is the purpose of that loy tobara, l'sheves yitzara? Or is it leman asher yitzaveh? As bon of acharav lishmar derech Hashem. That's the nafkamina. That's the nafkamina between the three reasons. If the mitzvah is selfish reasons, it's not even a mitzvah, it's your problem. It's your problem. If it's because loitoyu boroho losheves yotzara, you know whose mitzvah it is? It's your mitzvah. It's not a problem. If it's not a mitzvah, it's the human condition. You need to get married.
The Mishnah says that the father has the avodah.
Oh, where does the Mishnah get that from? Avraham Avinu. Because Avraham Avinu, he married, he had children for what purpose? Leman asher yitzaveh es bonav acharav lishmar es derech Hashem. I am having a child so that Hashem's mitzvahs can be fulfilled. If that's the reason why you're having a child, then your obligation continues. And make sure that child marries someone so the mitzvahs can continue. That is the nafkamina. Whose mitzvah is it to get married? Is it your mitzvah to get married? Or maybe it's not a mitzvah, it's just a problem you have to solve. Or is it your parents' mitzvah? Just like when it comes to bris milah. Whose mitzvah is bris milah? Do you have an obligation to give yourself a bris milah? No, that's not the primary obligation. The mishnah is clear as day. It's the pasuk. It's when a child is born, the father has an obligation to circumcise his son. The Mishnah, Masechta Kedushin, says that when a parent has a child, just like they have an obligation to make sure that that child has a circumcision, it is their duty to make sure that their child gets married. It's, but the child's already 20 years old. I already said, Baruch Shepotrani Me'oin Shoshal Zeh. Well, this is an exception to the rule. It may very well be that he's on his own, but guess what? It's your mitzvah. It's not your problem. It's your mitzvah. Why is it your mitzvah? Because you're an enekel of Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu made it very clear in day, clear as day, that the reason why he has children, and Hashem says, do you know why I love Avraham? Ki yedativ, I love him. Leman, because Asher Yitzave, Ezbonov, V'Ezbeisoy Acharov, Lishmar Derech Hashem, that they should reproduce in order to fulfill Hashem's mitzvahs. When you go in the way of Avraham Avinu, if you're just going to marry off, you're just going to have a child, that's not the end. In order to fully guarantee that the mitzvahs of Hashem, you have to go and make sure the child gets married. It's the parents' mitzvah. So now we can understand why it doesn't say toiv. Loi toiv heyois Adam levado. Adam harishon did not have parents. Adam harishon was created when he was 20 years old. He had no mitzvah of kibud av va'em. No one did anything for him for 20 years. No one lifted up a finger for him for 20 years. No one had an obligation to marry him off. No one had an obligation to marry him off. No, to be married, is it a good thing? Well, it's not good to be alone. If the expression is very mild. When it came to the luchos, now when it comes to the mitzvah, kibud av va'em, well, you know, your parents for 20 years, they did a lot of good things for you for 20 years. It would be a nice thing for you to reciprocate. By the way, how many more years are you going to live if you do kibud av va'em? Well, you're being mechabed them for what they did for you for 20 years, so you'll live another 20 years. Why do I say that? Because the truth is, life really ends at the age of 60. How do you know? How do you know that life ends at the age of 60? Kores. If a person is chayiv kores, when does his life terminate? Before 60. He doesn't live a full life. Once a person lives to the age of 60, there are no complaints anymore. Rachman al-Tzal, a person wants to name a child after someone who died. So they get scared. Should I give the child the name of this person? He died before the age. He died young. If he died young, I don't want to go put on my child a bad simon. He also should die young. So you go to any rabbi, they'll say to you, well, how old was the person when he died? He was 61. So 61 is a baby. 61, you're still in a crib. You still have a sippy cup, but you're 61 years old. Life doesn't begin until you're 80 years old in the 21st century, right? 60 years old is nothing, 60 years old. No. 60 years old is a full life. Yimei is a bonus. Yimei shenoi senebuchem shevim shana vim bigvuro shmonim. Bonus year. Kores, you can't ignore. It's true. It says in the Pasuk there's 70 and there's 80. But guess what? In the Torah it says 36 times v'nichrisa. And what is v'nichrisa? 60. It's a Pasuk in Tehillim that says, one Pasuk that says 60 and 70 and 80. But what's the main life in the Torah? V'nichrisa. Life ends at 60. And then it says, if you're good, you behave yourself, give you a bonus 70. You're really good. V'migvuro shmonim. It doesn't say 90. That's already Pirkei Avos. That's already Pirkei Avos, 90, 100. So what's the bonus? The bonus is make it to 80. 80? You give 20 more years? Why do you give me 20 more years? Mida keneged mida. you were mechabed your parents, what they did for you for 20 years? What does the Torah say? Leman yarichun yomecha. I will extend. If you show hakoras hatoiv to your parents, what they did for you for the first 20 years, because that's the ikar zman in a person's life, according to halacha, that a parent does chesed with their child is 20 years. Because at 20 years, you get rid of him. My mother always used to say, what's the difference between a bar mitzvah and a wedding? What's the difference? A beautiful, beautiful, fancy, schmancy bar mitzvah in America. In America, big, fancy bar mitzvah and a wedding. Wow, big, fancy wedding. What's the difference? The difference is, by a bar mitzvah, you have to take home the brat. At a wedding, you get rid of him. He doesn't come home at night. Bar mitzvah, when the bar mitzvah is over, guess who comes home at night? The brat comes back into the house. The wedding, it's not your problem anymore. It's the wife's problem. 20 years is the ikar zman of raising a child. And then that's it. He's out. Now the child has to reciprocate for those 20 years. You want to reciprocate? The Torah says, Leman yarichun yomecha. I'm going to give you 20 more years. Not only is there no kares, not only do you live out your years, yimei shenoseim bohem shivim shana v'im b'gvuroi shemoinim shana. You get 20 more years. Lu'umas, the first 20 years that you appreciated, kibud avoheim. But what about yitav l'cha? Here's the difference. In the first luchos, it doesn't say when it comes to kibud avoheim, the word yitav. You know why? Because the first luchos were given to Klal Yisrael in their own merit. It was like Adam HaRishon. We were independent people getting the Torah. It had nothing to do with our parents. The second luchos, we didn't get them until Moshe Rabbeinu said the magic words, the password. Zichor le'Avraham le'Yitzchak u'le'Yaakov. Zichus avos. Oh, zichus avos. You're coming on to your parents. Your parents, you want the Torah. You want the Torah because leman asher yitzave esbonav yesbeisu achrav lishma derech Hashem. You're doing it because you want the Torah because of the avos and your bonim. Oh, that's a whole different type of marriage. That means that when you're getting married, who's marrying you off? Your parents are marrying you off. Leman asher yitzave esbonav yesbeisu achrav lishma derech Hashem. That's a different category. That's not like Adam HaRishon of Loi Toiv Heyois Adam Levado. That's Toiv. That's Toiv. That's a high amount. And now we segue from Loi Toiv to Leman Yitav Loch V'Harachta Yomim. Because when you live your life after you get married, because your parents married you off, you're thanking your parents for marrying you off also. So now, the leman yarichun yomecha is not just arich hasyom, it's leman yitav loch. There's a new dimension. There's a new dimension in the kibud avoheim. Because the kibud avoheim is the reason, because the kibud avoheim first begins when you get married. And when you get married, who married you off? Did you marry yourself off or did your parents marry you off? Your parents married you off. So now, in the arichas yomim element of the hakaras hatoiv, you having hakaras hatoiv to your parents, not just for giving you life, it's hakaras hatoiv for marrying you off. Marriage is defined with the term loy toiv. It was only called loy toiv by Adam, because Adam didn't have parents to marry him off. You have parents to marry you off? Your marriage is toiv. Torah couldn't be so generous to say Loi Toiv Hayos Adam Levad, to say Toiv, because Adam didn't have parents to marry. That element was missing. He just married himself off. Hashem, I need a wife. I tried to marry the horse. It didn't go. We got into a fight. The horse threw me out of the house. I need a real person. So But now, when Avram Avinu marriage, it's a different marriage. It's not you marrying yourself off. Your parents are marrying you off. So now the marriage is no longer begeder loy toiv hayoyis adam lavadai. It's begeder toiv. So now when it comes to the kibud av ha'em, which is a reciprocation, what your parents did for you, it's not just arichas yomim. It's leman yitav loch. It has that new dimension. Okay, Rabbi says, so the sum up, what we learned today over here is, there are three dimensions to marriage. Marriage is a problem that needs to be solved to satisfy the human condition. Then there is a religious element of acknowledging there is a God who gave us this world, and we have a duty to preserve the world, and that applies even to non-Jews. And then there is a new element that is unique to Klal Yisrael that comes only from Avram Avinu. Children are here in order to give us an opportunity to do Hashem's mitzvahs. Nafgamina between these three, the main nafgamina is, whose mitzvah is it to marry you off, to get married? According to number one and two, number one, it's not even a mitzvah, it's just a problem. Number two, it's your mitzvah. Number three, it's also your parents' mitzvah. And how does that change the equation? First of all, also it changes the whole element of do we force you to get married? Can your parents force you? Yeah. It seems like parents have much more power in forcing a child to get married than Beis Din. Beis Din has to stand back. But parents have much more power in halacha to force children to get married. Much more power. Why? Avraham Avinu. L'man asher yitzav v'espan v'ach l'shmoderech Hashem. And how does that segue into kibud av ha'em, Adam HaRishon? He was 20 years old when he was created. Why was he 20? Because he has no parents. That's why he has to first begin when you're 20 years old. It's totally zebezeh. Because the ikud, the zman of getting married when you're 20 years old. That's why he had to first begin when he was 20 years old. So when we are mechabed our parents, what are we mechabed our parents for primarily? For the first 20 years of our life. That's why Ari Chasyam is 20 years. Mkare, 60 to 80. And that's why the Luchos Shniyos, which was given only because of the Ovos, that's why marriage turned from loy toiv, when you do it yourself, to a new madrega toiv. And in the kibud av ha'em of luchos shniyos, it's l'man yarichun yomechu l'man yitav loch. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy. Isru chag ba'avoisim ad karnois ha'mizbeach. There's no tachnon today, Rabbi Isai. Can you imagine? A bonus today, mincha, no tachnon.
Rabbi Levine,
yeah,
I have an answer to the question that was left unanswered. Why not Chava the First?
Yeah,
one of my favorite Medrash pieces is their first version.